Good morning. You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Bob Hinkle, Fred Mills, Justin Farrar. Today, we're talking about the term Americana and what is the definition of that genre of music. What is the definition of what WNCW does on a daily basis? Recently, the Americana Music Association celebrated its 10th anniversary in Nashville, and one of the hosts presenting to the audience at the convention center, WSM disc jockey Eddie Stubbs, was quoted as saying about Hank Williams on his birthday, "If he emerged today, country music would ignore him and Americana would embrace him." On What It Is Today, we're debating what happens when your musical niche is really a big tent.
Some would probably say the tent is getting bigger each year. I know that one recurring theme in the What Is Americana debate is if this person is strumming and twanging, you know, it's Americana, obviously, but what about if this person has a little bit of soul and R&B in their sound, or what if this person brings in a little bit of reggae? You know, what if this person actually has some pretty high-energy rock and roll in their sound? It's almost come to be a term that means all things to all people, depending on if they like the particular artist at hand, and I think the kind of the breadth and depth of the music that WNCW plays under the vague new term Americana is testimony to that.
Yeah, and are we talking North Americana or South Americana? I mean, Central Americana.
Well, since it's come to mean that too.
Apparently, yeah. There's Swedish bluegrass.
Yeah.
And if bluegrass is the most indigenous American art form, well, there you go. It's bad. It's nationwide. It's global now. You know.
Yep. Seems to me that, in the simplest of terms, and this is one man's opinion only, slightly more than 10 years ago, there were a lot of people who didn't have a genre. They didn't have a place to hang their hat. And there were a lot of people in the industry who were looking, probably, for a place that they could hang their hats. And Americana is filling the bill. It's kind of a meaningful, meaningless term.
Well, this year it actually got even more meaningful, and maybe not quite so meaningless for the commercial end of music, because the Grammys have introduced a major change in their balloting system. The field normally known as folk has been renamed the American Roots Music Field, and there'll be three awards under that heading: Traditional Blues LP, Contemporary Blues Album, and Best Bluegrass Album. Now, the category formerly known as, I sound like I'm talking about Prince, the category formerly known as Best Contemporary Folk / Americana has now been broken into two categories: the Best Contemporary Folk Album and the Best Americana Album. And so what does this mean? I mean, I guess that means that...
Well, it means they trashed the polka categories.
Yeah. Polka is a perennial. Yeah.
Frank Yankovic.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
But I know in years past, even I had to scratch my head a couple of times when Springsteen and Dylan would get a Best Contemporary Folk Album. Mm. All that meant was that they lacked the proper category to award those particular records. And Springsteen might be, in a one sense, a poster child for the amorphous meaning of Americana, because he'll do an album like the Seeger Sessions, which is clearly an Americana outing. Then he'll do, I don't know, Ghost of Tom Joad,
right,
which is Dust Bowl music, and that's clearly an Americana. But Magic, obviously, is not an Americana album. That's a full-on rock album. So, you know, you wind up with someone like that can span different genres. I think the Grammys is going to make a big difference in terms of the awareness of some of these artists and more power to them. There's a lot of star power and a lot of commercial power. I think we saw that happen last year with Plant and Krause when they won a Grammy. A couple of Grammys, as a matter of fact. And that's as pure an Americana album as you can find. You've got a bluegrass star and a heavy metal rock god from England pairing up to make something that is pretty quintessential.
A heavy metal band that actually had quite a lot of folk and roots influence in their sound, going back to Fairport Convention was a big influence, and the Byrds with the Django was a big influence on a lot of Led Zeppelin's lighter moments. We have these stereotypes in America that liberal-urban, this false dichotomy, liberal-urban and conservative-rural, and it seems like Americana's attempt to kind of explain when those poles get rewired so that it tries to explain the, it's hard to say, but like when rural intersects with a liberal progressive bent?
Here at WNCW, our genesis was 20 years ago at the sort of the very beginnings of the term Americana. And I would dare say that radio stations like WNCW have helped shape that definition over these past two decades. And we hear these debates all the time of, you know, what should we play? We take sort of a roundtable approach and all weigh in on what should we play, what should we not play. Like, do you really want to play the new John Fogerty record, or how much? Do you really want to play this Imogen Heap record? Does it fall in your wheelhouse or not? And you have people all the time that are outside looking in that don't necessarily get the whole definition. They say, well, why don't you play more of, you know, this kind of rock and roll, or why can't you play X, Y, or Z? And it often boils down to more of a state of mind than an actual definition. I think what we're talking about here is really the desire to define something and therefore determine the future for everybody else.
All right, well, I've got a question for you then, and this is probably something that maybe runs through the back of other people's minds too. Say you've got an artist that has a background in a totally different field, say punk or something, and then all of a sudden he discovers a Hank Williams record and goes stripped down country folk or whatever. There's an artist out of England called Frank Turner on the Epitaph label, punk label. There you go. But he was in this British punk band, but he, sure enough, he discovered the art of folk rock troubadours, and he's got almost a Billy Bragg kind of sound, but definitely you listen to him without knowing anything about him. The first thing you say is, oh, there's another Americana artist. So what's the decision making? Do y'all look at the artist from a career standpoint and say, okay, this is an Americana kind of artist, or you just listen to the music and judge it solely on the musical merits?
And are you going to play the Hall & Oates country album, which I understand they're making?
No, that's a very valid point. Would this station play Hall & Oates, who are the least Americana-identified artist I could think of at the moment?
Well, personally, my theory is that you should always listen to music first in a kind of vacuum and put away the liner notes, put away the promo material, and not even know who it is, ideally, as if you were listening on the radio and didn't know who you were listening to, and then make a decision.
But is that always possible?
Of course, that's almost impossible. Yeah. You can't isolate things that way. But it boils down to our own tastes. We all have our own sort of feeling of what is and what isn't, but we also have to pay attention to what's out there, and sometimes you can't ignore. Some things become too large to ignore, so even if we don't like the new record by so-and-so, we know we're going to play it. You know, it's a give and take.
If it was a core artist, you'd probably, by default, play it, but perhaps maybe de-emphasize this particular album a little bit.
What happens is they don't get played as long or as much.
I guess a good example, maybe almost reverse of what you were talking about, Fred, was Wilco, where they were clearly alt-country / Americana, and then they just went off into a totally different direction, started incorporating elements of like Chicago noise rock scene into their music with Jim O'Rourke producing ambient music.
And they lost some of their early fans too, didn't they?
They did. I don't think they've ever really liked that alt country. In fact, that's the irony about this these tags is it seems like the alt country / Americana actually really upsets particular artists, because then it puts a burden on them that everything needs to have twang when it comes out. And if it doesn't have twang, somehow they've lost their way or something like that.
Well, that is ironic, because the roots of what we are talking about here in one sense goes back to Uncle Tupelo with Tweety and Farrar, and then the birth of No Depression magazine, which followed shortly after that. And back then they were calling it alt-country. A discussion we had earlier is how as things evolved, I think a lot of artists became a little uncomfortable with that term alt-country, because it definitely created an image in your mind, he's going to be mostly country, but a little alternative to, say, Garth Brooks. And that's the point in time we're talking about, where this schism hit was bands rebelling against what was coming out in Nashville and seeing no chance of getting played on country radio, but they still had that aesthetic in their sound, so they wanted to find a new avenue of expression. But then as it evolved, I think Americana was coined along the way to where it would give people a little bit more breathing room and feel a little bit more comfortable if they're going to be pigeonholed, and it's human nature to pigeonhole artists. You know, that's an easier term to live with.
I would actually take exception with is it Eddie Stubbs? The Hank Williams comment, because I don't know. I think if some of these modern Americana artists ran into Hank Williams, I think they'd turn around and run the other direction. I think Hank Williams would be too much of a, you know, he'd be kind of a crazy dude to me. You know, I mean, he wouldn't be hanging out drinking chai lattes with Emmylou Harris.
He'd
and
show
Marty
you
Stewart.
How Hank done it. Yeah. Yeah,
he'd be guzzling whiskey and shooting off a gun,
and running off with her women. The Hank Williams thing. I was personally very pleased, and Joe will remember this. Several taping sessions ago, I came down and gave Joe and Martin copies of this CD by his artist named Gabriel Sullivan. And subsequently, several of the DJs have been playing that on the air in NCW, and I hope it's because y'all really like it, not just trying to make me feel good. But Gabe Sullivan, out of Tucson, was in punk and metal bands in Tucson while he was a teenager. But he told me, I interviewed him, and he told me that he heard Hank Williams, and it was a light bulb moment. And that led him to explore other artists like Johnny Cash and everything. I know his daddy had a lot to do with that, because his daddy was a roots music fan. But that's just a classic example of how the influence of someone like Hank can be so pervasive and extend down through the decades to keep touching people. And maybe that's part of the dialogue we're getting into here, too, is a certain timelessness of sound and poetry and aesthetic vision that is not as of the moment and is you know, short-lived as, say, you know, contemporary pop music, dance music, what have you.
I have a personal definition of Americana, which is that when I was about, well, very long time ago, a very young person, I got the first transistor radio on the block. It was one of those nice little black Zeniths, you know,
with
a metal top and an earplug.
Yep.
And I was supposed to be going to sleep, and of course I wasn't. I had radio under my pillow, and I was fortunate to be in a good reception position where I could split my night between WLAC in Nashville, which was, especially on the weekend nights, a fabulous blues station, and WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia, which was an incredible, you know, country station, old-time station. I would go to bed with those things mixing in my head. The sort of the side, good side story to that is there was a moment in time, WWVA used to offer a lot of promotions, and they would one of them that they were offering was that you could get the everything ever recorded by the Rainey family, which was one of their favorites at that time, if you send in a certain amount of money. And if you send it in by a certain amount of time, just within a deadline, you got absolutely free of charge a set of Jesus Saves Mud Flaps. the end of the story is that my mother sold them at a yard sale.
The records or the mud flaps?
The mud flaps.
Okay.
No, I don't know where the records went along.
That's classic.
But that was my personal definition of Americana.
Well, see, nowadays you've got some kid dialing up internet radio stations. It's the equivalent. He gets exposed to it, possibly by chance. But, you know, that's the kid with the iPod and downloading podcasts is the kid with the AM radio and the little earphone.
That's true. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned radio because it almost seems that the core definition of Americana can be found in what was being played on border radio between Mexico and Texas, where you had soul music, you had old-time artists down there, you had hardcore honky-tonk, you had rock and roll, you had a Chicano soul, you had traditional Mexican folk music, all mixing, and that seems to be basically Americana.
Hence the career of Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah, or Doug Somm.
Right. We'll have to play I Heard It on the X after this segment.
Well, I've got one thing maybe that will help a little bit since we've probably unable to define Americana specifically, and maybe that's why it's such a great genre anyway. But I found this on the Americana Association website, and the question is on the website, what is Americana music? And they make a stab at defining it, and I'll just give you a little touch of it. Americana is music that honors and is derived from the traditions of American roots music. Is music inspired by American culture traditions, which is not only represented in classic man-made and roots-based sounds, but also through new and contemporary artists whose music is clearly inspired by these great traditions. Notice it doesn't mention geography, doesn't mention age. It just says artists that are inspired by the traditional sounds. And that means, as they go on to point out, it can include everyone from Gram Parsons to Solomon Brook to The Band to Lucinda Williams to Lyle Lovett to Mavis Staples. And that's a pretty broad grouping of people. You've got soul and country, and you've got all over the map stuff like The Band. I believe you've worked mm-hmm. with The Band, so yeah. you know of what I speak here. And it just goes to show maybe it's music that's, you know, comes from the heart and has an authenticity and doesn't really try to be trendy and of the moment.
Defining what you just said in terms of radio stations, it means it's a radio station that's not owned by Clear Channel and isn't talk radio.
That would be NCW.
And one other sort of tangent to this is it's always interesting to us at WNCW to look at the top 100 countdowns of, say, the whole 20-year countdown that we did for our anniversary, and then each year in general for the top 100 of that year, to see what comes back and to see what people really love, and sort of scratch our heads sometimes and think, well, we really don't play this a lot, but they voted this mm-hmm. into the top 10. You know, like Band of Horses one year gets into our top 10, and it's like, we played it some, but, you know, we didn't play it that much, but they love it, so that's good. And a band like Led Zeppelin gets way up into our overall top 100 countdown of the past 20 years, and we barely play it. So it just goes to show
no
how—
escaping Zeppelin.
Right, that's right.
It's the Plant and Krauss effect.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Just how broad everyone's taste is.
Yeah.
What do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Justin Farrar, Fred Mills, and Bob Hinkle.
Happy birthday, NCW.
Indeed.